Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Nack is a podcast for independent artists seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower artists. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi everyone, this is Natalie Jean, and this is Natalie Jean, and this is Chatting with Nat. Today we have the honor of having multi-genre producer and recording artist Phil Kanakis. Phil Kanakis is what I just said, a multi-genre producer and recording artist. He has produced and co-produced and recorded several albums for both himself and other artists. From the beginning, Phil wanted to use his musical talents in a positive way to uplift listeners and those around him. Phil and his partner have produced an array of album singles since they met in 2001. Phil's newest release, Aquarius Rising, is his first solo release in 14 years. Let's give him a round of applause. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, Natalie. How are you? Thank you again for having me on.
Oh, well, you know, I'm trying to survive in this crazy world. It's been crazy. You know, I'm sure you know about Kristen Speller's death, so
yes,
it's been super hard, but you know, trying to just been a hard year, but trying to get through the best that I can. That's all I can say about that.
Really all that we can do, right?
No, I mean, that's all we can seriously do. I mean, because
yeah,
you know, I know that people will pass. It's just this one person. She had been through a lot, and for her to die, that was just horrific. I you know,
yeah,
people always say,
really
people always say, well, you know, in time, and I'm like, you know what? I need to wallow in my pain, so I deal with my thing very differently. So, what's that? How have you been since we last spoke?
I have been good. I've been really busy working on Aquarius Rising and an array of other projects.
Hmm.
Just been not inundated in a bad way, but just working on 20 things at once.
Yeah, no, I know the feeling. I think my head's going to spin off soon. I know the feeling. It's like, you know, we love what we're doing and we want more of it, but then sometimes we take too much and we're like, okay, I got to do this. And then, we forget. That's why I love the notes feature on my iPhone, because I use that quite a lot. It's like, okay, I need to remember to do this. I need to remember to do that. But this is crazy. It's just crazy. That's all. Crazy moments, crazy times. Now tell me about this new album, because I know that you're quite gifted, because last time I played one of your songs, I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. It needs to be in the movies. It needs to be on television. It needs to be somewhere. So tell me about this new album and why you decided to release one after several years.
Well, what I have done a lot in the past is sound healing music. And I had always wanted to record an album that was just epically beautiful, but the projects that I was working on at the time just didn't lend itself to have that epic sound. So I kept on going from project to project to project, and I usually have about 5 or 6 projects that start up as I'm completing a project or two.
Okay.
So I've just been going from project to project to project to 2 projects to 4 projects, and just the way those projects were, it didn't really lend itself for just this kind of production. And then
okay,
before I know it, 14 years went by. And I was just like, it's about time for me to take out some of these ideas and write new ideas and then just have this year. So it wasn't deliberately done, but it was just in a red hot minute. So much time went by, and then I was just like, it's time. So some of the pieces I had from before, so I was able to orchestrate them and record them, and then just do them up the way that it is on Aquarius Rising. And for the title song, Turn Up the Piece, that was originally written in 2011 as just a piano. It was just going to be piano, violin, and then I just really wanted to do it up and do an epic version of it, and it just dominoed.
That's how it happens, right?
And then I was just recording and adding tracks and adding tracks and adding tracks and adding tracks, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
And voila! Aquarius yes. Rising. Now, why did you choose that title?
So everybody kind of knows of that golden age with Aquarius, or like the Aquarian age. And, you know, it's kind of that time period where ideally good triumphs over evil. And and for us to... So actually, let me back up. So that's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go with something that was really positive, thing that had some meat to it, which then it's kind of an inward transformation, but also external. Like if you, I'm kind of jumbling a little bit. Okay, let me backtrack. So, like, we're all here to do something on this planet. And a lot of times when you set forth to do what you came here to do, you have blocks, you have roadblocks, you have stuff that comes up within by yourself so that it tries to kind of keep you down from where you could go. And so what this really is, you know, that personal journey of breaking through that what stops you from being yourself. And there's that on the internal side, but there's also external side too within just the planet and just how everybody is. And
right.
So when my partner Holly, she didn't know what to do for the graphic, but she knew that it needed to be very epic. And she started having the idea come to her in pictures, and then it took her several weeks to develop it. But once she showed it to me, I was like, it conveys that edginess, but I'm kind of losing my words.
No, it's okay.
But it shows that rising up too within that image that's there too.
I love that. So I'm going to play your song, Beautiful. Tell me what that's about.
Beautiful is piano and violin. And that it came together just really sweetly. And a lot of people have told me that they could see that as a nice wedding song. So that's probably the number one comment that I'm getting from that.
Okay.
But I wanted to just convey absolute beauty within that piece.
Okay.
And this is just what came.
I love it. Let's play it.
Thank you.
can say is stunning. Stunning. Was that enough? I mean, it's beautiful. I can see where they think it could be a for a wedding, but I definitely could hear it in a movie. Definitely.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, phenomenal work. I love it. Now, you had my friend Justine Blazer produced it. How was working with her?
Oh, it was absolutely awesome. It was phenomenal. She did such a good job mixing and mastering this whole album, and it was absolutely awesome working with her. I loved it, and she's nothing but good thing to say. She's an absolute genius. And we worked really well together creating the sound for this. It was awesome.
Now, how do you go about choosing the titles for each song? Because I see that you have, you know, Song for You, Beautiful, Miracles, Turn Up the Peace, and Time to Say Goodbye.
It just happened that these titles just matched within the theme of the album. And Hymn to the World, I had written several years ago. And so I guess maybe these songs knew that they were going to be together one day on an album. And so they were calling forth their titles so that one day they could match up, so to speak. And Time to Say Goodbye is actually, that one is a cover song that we did. And that one, I always wanted to redo that song. And it's originally sung by Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman. And that song I always wanted to redo. And a lot of people don't know this, but the original meaning of that song is usually between like two people that are getting married and they're going off into their new life together, and they're basically saying goodbye to the life that they were solely, and then they're moving on within that next phase of their life together. And so I thought that it would be kind of an interesting thing to have in it, because we're kind of saying goodbye to the things within ourselves that are keeping us down from where we want to go ourselves.
Right.
And we're kind of going forward within that journey. And then it gave me an excuse to work with Nita Perez and Frank Fasano on that vocally, and it was just a match made in heaven with the two of them singing that duet together.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do it, but for this one I really wanted to redo it epically, so I had my fun with that.
Awesome. I love that. Now, the album's already charted, right?
Yes, it charted on the first day out at number 50 on the classical charts in the USA. And then last weekend, it actually charted again at number 67 in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
And so, it already charted in two different countries. And it's just been a lot of fun to watch.
That's awesome. So, congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. And to you too, with your song that you were on with Amy too. That was really awesome that we were able to share the same release day. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that was. Thank you for that. Now, I'm going to play Song for You. Tell me what that's about.
Song for You is the first song that I ever wrote. I was 12 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And And this was the first song that I ever wrote. And I felt that I needed to put it on this album because it was where my writing started.
Mm.
So.
All right. I love it. Let's play it. Another hit. another hit. I think for myself, I can only speak for myself, that this was like genius work. It's beautiful. I mean, it's stunning. It, you know, your musical compositions takes you on a lovely journey. It just, you can go anywhere with your music. I'm shocked that the music is not in films right now. Because it should be. But it, maybe it's because it's taken you 14 years to release this album. That could be the thing.
Don't wait 14 years for the next one. Note to self.
So you've submitted this to the Grammys this year, correct?
Yes, I submitted it this year for Classical Compendium.
Well, my fingers are crossed for you. I mean, it's stunning. I mean, this is the craziest time of the year for all of us. You know, we've got to listen to all this music and we get inundated with friend requests. My gosh, and they only give us 2 weeks to be able to listen to such beautiful albums such as yours. How do you deal with this time of year? How do you deal? Because it drives me insane.
I don't think about it too much. The less I think about it, the better, and the more that I'm just in action, either listening to stuff or writing messages.
Mm.
That's how I deal with it. If I think about it too much, then I can totally stop myself very easily and not get anything done and get backlogged with messages. And so I try to not think about it too much.
I hear
and,
you.
Somebody yesterday sent me a message. They had listened to Aquarius Rising and they thought it was really fascinating because the person said that she felt that I created my own universe within the songs. And I thought that was really interesting. But she said that it really takes you on a journey.
Yeah.
But it's this whole universe. So I just thought that was a really incredible comment.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing comment. That's awesome. But she reiterates what I say. It's like it takes you on a journey. And it's a beautiful journey that you take people on. You know, I'm hoping that after Aquarius Rising, there'll be more and more and more from Phil Kanakis. Your talent is just awesome. Now, will you submit these songs or this album for sync placements as well?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to do that too.
This music business, it's a lot of work, right?
Yes, it is. I often make jokes with Jeff Silverman that we need to find a way to clone ourselves so that we can do, that way we can do 12 things.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
We just need more of ourselves.
I am with you on that one. We definitely need, I know I need some clones, that's for sure. That is for sure.
I don't even understand how you do everything you do.
Me neither. I'm trying to figure all of that out because it's just like I sometimes sit and I was like, oh, how am I going to get all this stuff done? And most of it gets done, but I have to multitask to try to get things done. But one of the things you could do, I mean, even to promote the music, because I know that Kit Wakeley's music on TikTok is used quite often in a lot of TikToks and stuff like that. You know, take some scenery. I mean, put it like, or take a clip of a movie. You can get some of those on YouTube and add music to it with some of the songs you think that would go with something, or even if it's something like nature. Put the music to it. I mean, because I think your songs, a lot of people would be able to use your songs. And I think your songs could go viral. You know, I'm adding more to your plate, but you know, that's the way it goes.
No, it's good things to add to my plate.
Yeah. Like Instagram, you know, I had somebody take one of my songs and used it in a really interesting way. It was like the instrumental part of my, well, I released the instrumental song for Mother Earth, and they put it in this art thing. And every time there was beat, it was like boom, 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 boom. And it was really, I thanked the guy. I say, well, thank you for using my song in your Instagram post. So it's just, it's interesting to see how people use your music. So on TikTok, you can do some kind of search, like I'll search my songs, and then you can see how many videos have been using your music. And it's really astonishing once you see how people use your creation.
I have to get updated on TikTok. I don't really know too much about it.
Well, you know, some people like it, some people don't. Some people think people just do silly things, but it's not. So it's a space where you can put anything on there. You can sit there and talk about your life. Some people sit there and cry about something that happened to them, or there are comedians on it. Some people do things that are funny. Some people teach you life hacks, like certain things you didn't know. Like, for example, they showed this one woman was just like, we've been eating pineapples the wrong way. So basically, you don't cut it, slice it in half. The ridges, you just are supposed to pull them out. And it's like, OMG, I didn't know that that's the way we're supposed to eat pineapples. So it's like different things. There's doctors on there teaching you different things. There are artists that show you how to paint stuff. People show you how to sing, this, that, and the other. So it's a vast thing. I know some people don't like TikTok because of who owns it and stuff like that, but that's BS, because in the United States, we have so many social media sites that do the same things. And you know, we're artists. We got to be out there on every darn platform, unfortunately.
That is true.
You know, it is. Like, how do you market your music in general?
I have to work on that more. I do belong to a couple of different music libraries,
mm-hmm.
and I've been able to get some sync placements with that.
Okay.
But I've been mostly just in recording mode the last few years, that I haven't done as much marketing as I probably should.
Okay.
That's an area that I have to work on. I have to work on that.
All right. Well, we all need to work on all our stuff, because you know what I try to do is I try to find ways to market without having to use so much money, or not use money at all. And try to go that route, because everything is so expensive. I mean, you can do the Nashville sign, which is like, I think that's about $250. There's Spotify advertising that starts at $250. There's playlist push, and there's a thing around $300. There's Play MPE, which I used to get it on radio, and that starts at $250 depending on your genre. So it's expensive. I always tell people, if you want to really get into this music business, you really got to love it, because you're going to sacrifice a lot for it.
That is true. Time, I think for me, time is the biggest factor. Time, just the budget to where you want to get the most benefit. And time is a big thing for me, because I teach as well. So,
right.
So I have just certain days where I just devote to just music work and what I need to do towards projects. And what I've been trying to do over the last few years is just get more projects done so that there's more things that can be promoted.
Right.
Because we, for a brief few years, I was taking care of my father and my grand aunt. And so there was a time for about 5 or 6 years that I didn't release anything, or I didn't even really work on music too much. So I've been kind of making up for some of that time.
Right.
And catching up on projects just to get the numbers up a little bit more.
Okay.
And getting our catalog up a little bit further. I had wanted to approach different publishing companies to try to align with them, but a lot of them have wanted the catalogs to be a little bit higher, but that's something that I've been familiar with. When we had a distributor that we aligned with back in 2007, we needed to have about 16 albums before he would talk to us. And and so we just cranked album after album after album after album done. And then through him, we were able to get in with the Orchard, and that has helped because they do a lot of promotion on their end as well. So it kind of helps us out. So
right.
It's not everything on us, but what I wanted to do was align with a couple other publishers, just so that there would be more legs that the songs would have, like there would be more people that would be able to promote, and just more avenues.
Awesome.
So I've been trying to get our numbers up with what we have.
Yep, that's the way to do it. Because this music business is crazy. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot more artists out there, which is a beautiful thing. I always tell people there's no competition. Everybody, there's a place for everybody on the stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people were to just focus on that, they wouldn't get jealous of stuff. Because we all have something to give to the world. Well, Phil, thank you for being on Chatting with Nat. I appreciate you. I love your music. Absolutely adore it. I think you are phenomenal, and I wish
you
much success in the recording at the Grammys and everything that you do. And I'll continue to follow you everywhere.
Please do, and good luck to you too. It's really been a pleasure, and thank you again for having me.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, that was Phil Kanakis on Chatting with Nat, multi-genre producer and recording artist. Please go listen to his music. He does have a website, www.com. His music is amazing. If you want to go on a journey, you need to break away from life, you need to listen to his music. Until next time on Chatting with Nat.
With Nat is a podcast for independent artists seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower artists. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
We all have that friend who wakes up early to go get everyone McDonald's breakfast, but the rest of us sleep in. This is your sign to thank them. And if you're that friend, this is us saying thank you.
Just a friendly reminder that right now, get any size iced coffee before 11 a.m. for just 99 cents. And a satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.79. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.